Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. This is the third part of this series. Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? Proverbs 23 verse 7 says, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." In 1 John 4:17 it says, "As he is, so are we in this world. As he is in heaven, so are we in the earth." Amen. The Lord spoke from heaven. The Lord had a conference. Back, it's recorded in Genesis chapter 1. And he said, "Let us make man in our image and in our likeness." And he goes on, he says, "And then let man have dominion in the earth. As we are in heaven, let him be in the earth." Glory to God. Amen. Jesus didn't just come to show us who God is. He came to show us who we are. He didn't just come to show us what the Father is like, but he came to show us what we are to be like. In part 1, we've been through the Gospel of John. In part 1, we were in John chapter 1. We saw Jesus, the Son of God, who came to bring many sons to glory. He's the original, the only begotten. We are the adopted sons of God, but we have all the rights and privileges of the natural born son. Hallelujah. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He didn't just come to show us what the Father is like, but what we are to be like. In part 2, we saw Jesus, the Son of Man, who became as human as you and I. Who did everything that he did, everything that Jesus did on this earth, he did as a man anointed by the Holy Spirit. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good. He stripped himself of everything that made him God. He laid it aside, he laid it down, in order to show us what is possible for a man in partnership with God. A man anointed by the Holy Spirit and power goes about doing good and dispensing and bringing healing everywhere he goes. He doesn't break things, he fixes things. Come on. He doesn't scatter, he gathers. Hallelujah. Jesus became as human as you and I, did everything that he did as a man anointed by the Holy Spirit. He completely identified with us in our humanity, and yet he never sinned once, not even once. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Remember, we saw that Jesus was never so heavenly minded that he was no earthly good. He showed us that the glory of God is revealed in the pragma and not in the dogma. We also saw he was never so earthly minded that he was no heavenly good. And in Hebrews 13 verse 8 it says, "Jesus Christ is," say he is. "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever." What he did yesterday, he's still doing today, and he will continue to do, because he hasn't changed, and he never will change. So this morning we're going to John chapter 3. John chapter 1, we encounter Jesus, the Son of God. In John chapter 2, we encounter Jesus, the Son of Man. In John chapter 3, we're going to encounter Jesus, the Teacher. Jesus, the Teacher. In John chapter 3, verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, a big shot among the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." That's what it says in Acts 10:38, doesn't it? It says that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was... Because God was with him. Was with him. And this man Nicodemus, this ruler of the Jews, comes to Jesus. He says, "We know that you are a teacher come from God." So we recognize that you're a teacher, and that God has something to do with this. But who knows, Jesus could have entered into a dialogue with Nicodemus that could he could have dazzled him with a theological discussion. He could have brought the dogma of the old covenant, just like he did with the teachers in the temple when he was 12 years old. Find that in Luke chapter 2, verses 46 to 47. He went into the temple and he sat down with the elders there and he dazzled them. They were amazed and baffled by this young man and where he got all his knowledge from. And he could have he said 18 years on from there, he could have sat down with Nicodemus and said, "Oh, thank you, Nicodemus. You recognize my ability as a teacher. We'd like to tell you something." and start bringing out all of the old covenant and begin to explain it all and how he could have dazzled them with his theological understanding. But see, things have moved up a gear since that day in the temple when he was 12 years old. Because now he's anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power. You see, now the dogma has become pragma. The word that became flesh is now anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power. And who knows, in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, Jesus said, "You shall receive power. You shall receive the same power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the uttermost ends of the earth." You shall be witnesses to me locally, regionally, cross-culturally, and internationally. Hallelujah. As he is, so are we in this world. The same anointing, the same power of the Holy Spirit that came upon Jesus, Jesus said, will come upon you. As he is, so are we in this world. This flesh needs to become pragma. Hallelujah. In verse 3 it says, Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again or born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God." So instead of just entering into a great theological discussion with Nicodemus, I mean, maybe Nicodemus thought, man, this Jesus, you know, if I'll come and I'll recognize his ability as a teacher, maybe he'll receive that compliment and maybe we can sit down together on level ground and have a great debate about things. Maybe the first thing he'd asked him after that was, "What school did you go to? which university did you attend? What's your qualifications? Have you read this? Have you read that? Have you sat under here? Have you been to Bethel? Have you been to Toronto?" Come on. But no, Jesus introduces a new dimension. A new dimension that is the basis of the new covenant. And that's new life in the power of the Holy Spirit. Something that Nicodemus can't get his head around with all his theological education. You see, in the new covenant, you can't separate the word from the power of the Holy Spirit. You need to understand that. In the new covenant, you cannot separate the word from the power of the Holy Spirit without reducing the dynamic relationship that God designed and destined us to have with him back down to the mechanics of ritualistic religion. That's what happens when you separate the word from the power of the Holy Spirit. That dynamic relationship. Jesus said, "You shall receive power." The Greek word dunamis, we get the English word dynamite from that. Hallelujah. Come on. The dynamic relationship, the explosive relationship, the power-filled relationship that God designed and destined us to have. When you separate the word from the power of the Holy Spirit, you try and just bring things from an intellectual level, you reduce it back to the mechanics of ritualistic religion. And every religion makes converts. Come on. Every religion makes converts. We're not here to make converts. Hallelujah. We're here to introduce people to their destiny. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit transforms dogma into pragma. The word becomes a now word. Say a now word. He takes the logos and makes it rhema in our lives. You see, the old covenant was primarily about, and you need to hear this, folks. The old covenant was primarily about an earthly kingdom, which was a prophetic picture. But the new covenant, that's talking about Israel, but the new covenant is about a heavenly kingdom invading the earth. Now, all you Israel lovers, I'm one too, I'm not having a go at Israel. But I just want you to hear something this morning. The old covenant was primarily about establishing that earthly kingdom that was a prophetic picture of the kingdom that was to come. When under the new covenant, a heavenly kingdom invades the earth. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Some people are overly fixated upon Israel, if you don't mind me saying so. And whether you do, I said it's too late. As someone said prophetically, is anybody else leaving this week? Well, I wasn't until you said that. But you can become so fixated on the earthly kingdom that you miss God's purpose for the heavenly kingdom, which comes to invade the earthly kingdom, along with every other kingdom. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. New covenant is about a heavenly kingdom invading the earth. Jesus came to teach about the kingdom of God. And he sends us to teach about the kingdom of God. As he is, so are we in this world. You know, there's three basic principles in the kingdom. This is coming back to me as we were just praising the Lord there a few minutes ago. And of course, the first principle is the way to live is to die. Second principle is the way up is down. So when you step out in faith with stuff like that. The third principle is the way to get is to give. Well, maybe we'll come back to that in a minute. See, the kingdom is supernatural. It can never be expressed or experienced in a natural sense alone. You can't introduce people to the gospel of Jesus Christ just through a natural perspective, through using natural arguments. Every time Jesus spoke about something in the natural, he was pointing to something that was in the supernatural. He used very simple illustrations, and they were so simple that those who depended upon their intellectual premise missed it. One time it says, Jesus said something exploded on the inside. Have you ever had that experience when something just explodes on the inside of you? Something of God just something just boom, and he says he rejoiced in his spirit. And this is what he said. Thank you, Father, that you've hidden these things from the wise and the prudent, and you've revealed them unto babes. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Kingdom is supernatural. You cannot separate the Word from the power of the Holy Spirit without reducing the dynamic relationship that God designed and destined us for to the mechanics of ritualistic religion. What do you want, dynamics or mechanics? I know what I want. Do you want the dogma or the pragma? Jesus says to this teacher, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again from above, he cannot see. Say see. He cannot see the kingdom of God. And all of a sudden, this man Nicodemus has been given something too big for him to swallow. And he chokes on it. You ever experienced a choke? Ever encountered this? Ever experienced this? Maybe when you've said something to somebody else or somebody else has said something. I don't know, but sometimes, because I still experience that sometimes. I hear something. See, sometimes because people think that they pretty much know everything that there is to know about the Lord. This is, as I said, Stornoway is Jesus' hometown. You know, everybody here thinks they know Jesus. They think they know everything about Jesus. You can go into the pub and talk to somebody who's propping up the bar there having his 17th pint and he thinks he knows everything about Jesus. There's nothing you can tell him about Jesus. He knows everything about him already. He learned it at Sunday school. Some of them have learned the catechism off by heart. Come on, some of them had a granny who loved Jesus. Sometimes because people think that they pretty much know everything that there is to know about the Lord, or because they think the tradition they were raised in had everything figured out. When they hear something taught, say taught. When they hear something taught that is outside of their box, they find it hard to swallow what they hear and they choke on it. As I said, personally, I still hear things sometimes that I kind of choke on a little bit. You can't be around Jesus and not hear stuff that comes to stretch your limited understanding. If you hang around with Jesus, you're going to hear things that are going to stretch your limited understanding. But that always comes not to put you down or to make you feel like you're nothing. It comes to lift you up. It invites you to come up higher. It invites you to abandon your limited, pathetic little thoughts and embrace His high thoughts. And come up into a new place of understanding. And a new place of understanding will always lead you to a new place of experience in your life if you apply that understanding and that wisdom. Amen. And so when you hear something that you initially choke on, if you're hungry enough, you'll keep chewing on it until you can swallow it. That's what meditation is. It's chewing. Just like that sheep. Mouth full of grass. Chews on it for about 6 months. Doesn't matter what time you can go out in the middle of the night and get a torch and shine it on that sheep. He's still chewing. Come on. 5 o'clock in the morning. Driving along and you pick a sheep up your head like... If you're hungry enough, you'll keep chewing on it. Even if you initially choke on it, you'll keep chewing on it until you can swallow it. And poor old Nicodemus choked on what Jesus told him concerning being born again of the Spirit of it. I thought we might talk about, you know, what Isaiah prophesied, or we might talk about Moses and the law. What are you hitting me with that for? Instantly you've said something to me that I can't get my head round. How can we be born again? How can anyone go back into his mother's womb and be born again? You hit me with that for? Maybe you're not such a great teacher after all. Maybe you're a loony. Maybe I made a mistake coming here. Come on. Now your people walk through the door of the church and they come to try you out, you know what I'm saying? And they hear something and they... Because they never heard it before. And they think because they've never heard it before, it must be wrong. Many times you've been caught out with that one. Because you're in the mechanics of religion. And you think you already know everything that there is to know. And because the person that taught you everything that you know thus far, you reckon they knew everything. If they hadn't told you about this, then it can't exist. It must be wrong. It must be false. It can't be true because you haven't heard it before. Come on. Poor old Nicodemus choked on what Jesus said. Even though he was a highly educated, even though he was an established teacher among God's people. And Jesus says to him, he says, don't marvel that I've told you that you must be born again. And he goes on and he speaks to him and he says, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. First of all, he says he can't see it. Then he goes on to say he can't enter it. You ever been trying to get in a building and you can't find the door? I'm sure this is the right place. But you can't find your way in. Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. We need to get a hold of some of these things, folks. Do not marvel. You can't bring your... A lot of people say, I'm going to bring my natural gifts and my natural talents into the church. That doesn't always work. Because if you think that you can just bring your natural talent and your natural gift into the church and it'll work, you're probably going to be disappointed. I'm not saying that God can't sanctify that natural gift, that natural talent, but there'll be a little bit of dying first, a little bit of going down first. Come on, a little bit of giving first. Because that's the kingdom principle. Sometimes God will say, lay it down. No, I'm good at it. No, lay it out. There's something else for you. Leave your nets behind. I'm going to make you fishers of men. No, we're fishermen. We've always been fishermen. Our father was a fisherman. Our grandfather was a fisherman. That's all we know how to do, fish. And we're good at it. We'll just carry on fishing for Jesus. No, leave your nets behind. Come follow me. I'm going to make you fishers of men. But I always played the guitar. I'm a brilliant guitarist. I'm the best guitarist around here. Well, lay it down. I'm putting you on the door. Come on. Now you can help people to enter his courts. Come on. Hallelujah. So that the next guy who gets up with a guitar is totally dependent upon the Holy Spirit and the anointing of God because he's not so good. In fact, he's got three chords and a capo. But something changes in the spiritual atmosphere. Come on. I tell you, I'm not boasting, I'm just reporting, but I tell you, I've never been that good in the guitar, but God told me when I got saved, before I got saved, I always fancied playing the guitar, but just never had the dedication or anything else to pick it up and actually get something out of it. But God said to me when I got born again, he said, I want you to buy a guitar. There was a guy at work who was selling his guitar, still got it, hallelujah. Guitar, a bag, a tuner, and everything else, a couple of pleggies, glory to God, for 70 quid in 1984. And I started trying to play that blessed thing. Katrina gave me a couple of books with chords on it, and I played that. Your loving kindness is better than life until it tortured my family. Your loving kindness, ding, chink, chink, is better than chink, chink, chink. Chord change, life. Come on, DG and A7th, glory to God. And I battered away, and I battered away, and I battered away, and I battered away, and then when the church started, I was the only one playing guitar. I tell you, we had people coming, people who were concert pianists, would say, you're so anointed. You're so anointed. See, I'm not taking that. I've said, what they said, you're so anointed. When you pick up a guitar and sing and lead the praise and worship, nothing but total dependence upon the Holy Spirit. Sometimes four chords in a capo, bless God. I was increasing my repertoire. I got a couple of minor chords in there just to beef it up a little bit. Amen. Sometimes when there were supposed to be chord changes, the chord changes didn't happen, but people didn't seem to notice. Hallelujah. I didn't come here to say this morning, but it's forward. Sounds pretty good to me. Hallelujah. You see, some people, I could have choked on that. God says, go get a guitar. But I thought, I'll just do it. And a lot of dying. I think my family died before me, baby. Again. My loving kindness, tick, tick, tick. Hallelujah. There's a lot of go down. See, people choke on the fact that you have to die. A lot of people say, you've got to die. And they go, I don't know, I want this anymore. But you know what the sad thing is? A lot of people choke about the living part. They say, oh yeah, I'm ready to die for Jesus. I'm ready to sacrifice everything for him. And they go into the ground and they die. And then God says, life's going to come up now. And they choke on the quality of life he's talking about. The abundant life. The more than enough life. The excess of life. The blessing, the increase, the multiplication, the health, the prosperity. They choke on that. Oh, yes, I'm so humble. Well, I humble myself. Yeah, don't ask me to do it. I'm too humble. So they don't choke. Some people choke on the down bit. But then you get the good Christians. You know, they don't choke. They go, whoop, yep, whoop, down. I'm a down kind of guy. Come on, I can do down. Yeah, they always put themselves down. But God says, no, that which goes down will come up. You humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and I'll tell you, when God starts exalting you. When due season comes, he will exalt you. But then people choke on the exalting bit. Oh, not me. No, no, no. I can never do that. No. I can never stand in front of people and speak. Oh, no. Come on. Giving? I'm a giver. Oh, glory to God, I'm a giver. I know how to give. I can give till it hurts. Well, you're giving too much then. You ever heard a preacher say, look, go on folks, we need to give till it hurts? He needs to get saved. I give you power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you, including your giving. That ain't nothing but somebody trying to wrestle your money off of you. Don't give him any. I'll give him something because he asked for it. But just hallelujah. So a lot of people, they don't choke on the giving bit, but they choke on the getting bit. Because it's a principle that God set in motion in the earth right at the very beginning. Seed time and harvest will never end. Whatever your seed is, if you sow it, you'll reap on it. If you sow carrot seed, you don't expect potatoes. What do you expect? Carrots. If your seed is money, what do you expect to reap on that seed? Anything else apart from money is well, maybe you need a wee adjustment in your mind. Whatever your seed is, sow a calf. Expect to have a garage full of them. Build a bigger garage. That could be a nightmare if you live in the city. Need to buy up a few permits. A few parking spaces. Hallelujah. A lot of people, they don't just choke on the dying. The people that choke on the dying and the going down and the giving bit, well, they never even get to see the kingdom of God. But the ones who choke on the living and the coming up and the getting, they never get to enter the kingdom of God. You see, the kingdom of God, it's a cycle. Amen. I call it the cycle of blessing. That's why it says in Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul. All you can ever bring to God is blessing. Bless him, just praise him, give thanks to him. Nothing else he needs off of us. Doesn't need anything of us, but he just loves to hear us bless him. With everything that's within us, just bringing all that we are to him and saying, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is with me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all. Say all. It's one of them wee monosyllabic words, bless God, that just covers everything. All. If you can't remember the scripture, chapter and verse, and the devil comes after you, just say, all. You'll get the message. All. Come on, hit me a wee bit of the na-na-na-na-na. Come on. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I give you power over all the power of the enemy. And nothing. That covers everything. All. Nothing shall by any means hurt you or harm you. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Who heals all, who forgives all your sin. Heals all your diseases. Crowns you with loving kindness and delivers your life from destruction. Crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercy. Satisfies your mouth with good things. Some things you choke on, but just keep chewing until you can swallow them. Hallelujah. Come on. I've seen people come out of this church and choke on the first time they were in. And you'd never see them again. You wouldn't see them again for weeks, sometimes months. But because they were hungry enough, they came back. And they tried to take a smaller bite next time. And just chew on that for a little while, till they could swallow it. Some folks have came like that, like they were like hop, skip, and jumpers, you know what I'm saying? But now they're jumping. Now they're jumping for the Lord and they're taking hold of the word and the message and it's becoming a reality in their lives. Hallelujah. None of us will ever get to a place where we don't experience the choke. Come on. If we do, we probably need to repent. God's got so much more. Say so much more. So much more. Jesus told Nicodemus not to marvel that he told him that he must be born again. Who knows that the Holy Spirit makes every promise of God accessible and available to every person? And your born again spirit always says yes. It's your soul, your mind, your will. That's why, bless the Lord, O my soul and all that is within me. My spirit, my soul, and my body, bless the Lord. Your soul is in your soul, your mind, your intellect, your will, and your emotions. That's where the objections are raised. But your born-again spirit always says yes when it hears something. It's your body, your mind that chokes on it. But your spirit's saying, yes, let it down, feed me. Come on. If you stop eating just because you choked once, you starve. Would you like something to eat? No, I choked once, so I don't eat anymore. Come on. Get ready to die. You ever been in your way? No, I went there one time, I heard something that never go back out again. And just like Nicodemus, are they messier? I've heard people say, Donny Stewart said this. I never said that. One guy said, he said that Paul didn't know nothing, that Paul was... He said that. I said, he didn't hear anything. He heard something, but he didn't hear it. He missed it. He just misheard it. He didn't come in the spirit with an open spirit. He came, maybe I don't know why he came, but he missed it. Hope he'll come back. As he is, so are we in this world. We are here to be teachers of the kingdom of God, to communicate the revelation that comes by the Spirit of God. That revelation that's so radically opposed to the reasoning of our natural minds. I said the reasoning of our natural minds. We're supposed to have a renewed mind. And that renewed mind thinks new thoughts. It has new thought processes. It begins to line up with the high thoughts of God that leads us into the high ways of God. But our natural mind, the reason that's producing our natural mind, rejects that revelation. So that our first reaction is to choke on it. But who knows, the hungry will be filled. And the thirsty will be satisfied. And those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, Jesus said, they shall be filled. And they will fill up and they'll begin to overflow kingdom transformation wherever they go. Hallelujah. Jesus said, you must be born again. Don't marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. Jesus said, new wine must have a new wineskin. If your mind hasn't been renewed, there's things you'll hear over and over again that you'll never be able to get past the choke on. Until you recognize that God designed a new wineskin. The new wineskin, I believe, is part of it is the new covenant. The understanding that we have a new covenant. We've made the transition from the old into the new. So many believers, so many of God's people who love God and God loves them and God loves them more than they love Him sometimes. But they're straddling all the time, really. But they're straddling that between the two covenants. They're stuck between the two and they go back and forth. That's that instability. You know, I think I know everything. What I was programmed with from the past and all the religious and the mechanics of ritualistic religion, they keep pulling me back over here into the old again. And then I get one foot over into the new and I begin to hear something, I think, fresh. And I think, whoa, yes, yes, yes. But no, but then I'm back here over here again. New wine must have a new wineskin. Otherwise, that there's going to be a choke. The wineskin, the old wineskin that you put the new wine into, is too brittle. And because of the activity of the new wine, they say the activity, the dynamic activity of that new wine bursts that old wineskin. And everything's lost. Everything's lost. Hebrews 11, verse 6, it says, those who come to God must believe that He is. And that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. We were speaking about that last night. Ask, and it will be given you. What will be given you? The kingdom will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. What will you find? You'll find the kingdom. Knock, and it will be opened to you. What will be opened to you? The kingdom will be opened to you. It's all about the kingdom. The kingdom has all of the resources, everything that you need. It has all of heaven's resources, makes them available to you, accessible to you by the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. These people are, you know, asking, they'll be given, so they're asking for a car. Well, if you need a car, there's a car in the kingdom for you. Jeanette's driving her kingdom car this morning. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So are we going to preach next week? We're going to have her up to preach about how you can trust God for a car and spend a whole morning talking about how God can give you a car. No, it's just a kingdom resource. Hallelujah. She needed a car. She asked for the kingdom, and the kingdom provided her with a car. Hallelujah. Come on. Those who come to God must believe. You must believe that He is. You must believe that He rewards those who diligently seek Him. You must believe He's a rewarder. Well, I believe in God. I believe in God. I believe in God. Well, God wants to bless you. Oh, no, 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 no. You just choked. Verse 16 and 17. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved, healed, delivered, prospered. I want to tell you, if Nicodemus choked on "you must be born again," then he would have struggled even more to swallow this one. God loves the whole world. No, 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 no. He don't love the whole world. He just loves the Jews. See, the Jews thought that they were the only ones that God loved. That was the old covenant revelation, and God chose them and He separated them and He said, "I'm going to pour my love into you so that the rest of the world will be able to see what it means to have a relationship with the true and living God." When He called Abraham, when He said to Abraham, this is what sometimes was forgotten, He said, I am going to bless you, and through you all of the nations of the world shall be blessed. But you know, sometimes people get a little bit of a blessing and they just want to hang on to it. And they forget that the way to get is to give. And God's always looking to increase. God's always looking for multiplication. He's always looking. That's why He put Adam in the garden, and He created a garden, but the garden didn't cover the whole earth. That was Adam's responsibility. To move the boundaries of the garden across the earth. Come on, to restore the earth, to replant the earth, to bring the earth into fruitfulness. You see a wonderful picture of that, of what the nation of Israel has achieved in the desert. And that was prophesied, they would bring forth fruit in the out of the desert. The desert would bud. And that's happened, but it's a prophetic picture of what, and God trying to get our attention and back to His original plan, which was for Adam to take the garden and spread it across the whole earth. A place of abundance, a place where all the multiplied people of the earth would be able to enjoy everything that God had provided by simply sowing and reaping, seed time and harvest. Hallelujah. I've met believers, there's a lot of believers, there's people who adhere to a systematic theology that tells you that God doesn't love everybody. That God doesn't want to save everybody. That God doesn't, certainly don't want to heal everybody. In fact, some of them don't believe He wants to heal anybody. Not want to bring deliverance to anybody. Certainly not to everybody. People still struggle with the implications of this. God wants to save everybody, heal everybody, deliver everybody, prosper everybody. That's the kingdom. They choke on this. I heard one fellow said, if you believe that God wants to save everybody, heal everybody, deliver everybody, you have an over-realized eschatology. Bring it on, I said. All right, somebody educated beyond his intellect came up with that. Come on. I'd just rather He wants to save everybody, heal everybody, and deliver everybody. Never mind your over-realized eschatology, friend. Jesus came to teach the kingdom. He came to reveal the kingdom. As He is, so are we. We are here to teach the kingdom. We are here to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth. That's an invitation for God to come into the places where we have been given dominion and to intervene. I said last Sunday night, He didn't come. People out there aren't looking for interference. They're looking for intervention. We're not looking for our interference. Well, I might be able to help you that, sort that out for you. Well, you know, just we'll make a plan. No, God wants to come with supernatural divine intervention. That's what people are looking for. Come on, they didn't queue up outside Jesus' surgery looking for a prescription that they could take down to the pharmacy and get it transferred, what was written in the paper, transferred into some pills or a bottle of medicine they could take 3 times a day. They weren't looking for his interference. They were looking for divine intervention. Is that the truth? Or is that the truth? As he is, so are we in this world. As you're dispensing out of the pharmacy, make sure you preach the kingdom. As you're consulting with your patients, Audrey, just bring the kingdom. You have an opportunity, they'll come to your door, you have an opportunity to reach them that other people don't have. We need more people in every walk of life, in every vocation, in every place of employment who's preaching and teaching the kingdom. I better not tell you that. Anyway. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Save me from the wrath of Katrina again. Praise God. We're here to teach the kingdom, to pray the kingdom. See, another place where people choke is, another place where some folks have problems is that when the kingdom comes, really wicked sinners get forgiven. Really nasty, horrible people who've done some awful things get forgiven. Like carte blanche, like nothing ever happened. You know what I'm saying? It's like your faith has saved you on your bike. You know what I'm saying? Some people choke at that. Long-term, seriously sick people get healed when the kingdom comes. Some people choke on that.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Do you want your thoughts? Do you want your ways to become like his ways? Then you've got to let your thoughts become like his thoughts. Because all of your ways are the product of your thoughts. Amen? All of your ways, your thoughts become your words become your actions become your habits become your character ultimately determines your destiny, your way, the way that you take. And the way that you take will always determine where you end up. If I want to go to Point, I don't go on across the Barabbas Moor. If I want to go to Point, I need to take that Point Road. Amen. Yes. There's two roads. There's a road that leads to life, Jesus said. And there's a road that leads to destruction. He said, narrow is the way that leads to life. And he says, few people find it. You know what? There's only one reason for that. That's not because God foreordained it and predestined it that way. That's because few people seek it. Seek and you will find. Majorly oppressed and possessed people get delivered when the kingdom comes. Some people choke on that. Bottom rung poor people get prospered when the kingdom comes. Some folks choke on that. See, if people choke on the message of the kingdom, they won't ever be able to receive the miracles of the kingdom. Unless you're born from above, you cannot see. Marvel not that I say to you, you must be born again. If you're not born again, you can never enter kingdom. Verse 18 of John chapter 3, we're nearly done. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they may have been done, that they have been done in God. You see, it's the entrance, according to Psalm 119, verse 130, it's the entrance of God's word that brings light. See, men have sought light through their intellectual abilities alone. The Enlightenment. Like they said somewhere at some great religious gathering last year, we know the Bible says that, but we know better now. Religious men, teachers among the people of God in our nation, not Israel anymore, but in Scotland, they said that publicly. They were applauded. They received standing ovations as they said, we know the Bible says this, but we know better now. They think they have a greater light than the light that enters the world when God's word speaks. God started it out with light. He said, God's word said, let there be light. And in the Hebrew it says, light be and light was. Hallelujah. One fellow used to be a confirmed atheist. He was a man of a high level of education, being a professor of this and a professor of that. And now he devotes his life to going into some of these places of learning and bringing the message of the Word of God and bringing true light into these places of so-called enlightenment. And he said this, he was speaking in one of these, he was either Oxford or Cambridge, I don't know, with a bunch of really off-the-scale IQ kind of people. And he said he was at the end of it all, they were having a discussion, and one of them, but this is what one young man said. He said, we cannot believe there is a God. Because if we did, we'd have to change the way we live. That's the bottom line. People who want to argue with you and debate with you, and they run from the Word of God, because the Word of God that brings light exposes the darkness, the true darkness, the reality of the darkness that they're living in. The message that comes with hope that says you can be saved, transformed, changed, but I don't want to be changed. So they run and they hide from it. They choke on it. The Bible says that they've been led captive by the devil to do his will. They've been blinded by him to the truth and the reality of the purpose and the plan that God has for their life, and that the plans that God has are always for good and never for evil, because they've never encountered the kingdom. They might have encountered the mechanics of religion and run from that, but they need to experience the dynamics of the kingdom. That word that speaks beyond their objections and reaches right into their spirit. In Hebrews 4:12 it says, the word of God is quick and powerful. It's active. Sharper than any two-edged sword. It's able to penetrate and divide asunder, it says in the King James, between the soul and the joints and the marrow, and the soul and the spirit. It's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. It goes to the deep places of a person's life and exposes and bypasses the mind and the intellect and the objections and the reasoning. And you cannot substitute anything for that. No intellectual debate can substitute that word that goes past the mind and enters the spirit and opens up a person. Hallelujah. To the reality that God loves them so much, he knows all about them, and he's willing to receive them and to accept them. I was just thinking about this when we were singing that word forgiven. You know, we were saying, I love you, Jesus. And I was thinking, well, Jesus said, those who are forgiven much, love much. And I was thinking about that word, forgiven. You see, if you want to understand the fullness of that word, forgiven, you need to get a grasp on what was given for you. If you struggle with having no value, you need to understand that something that no value could be placed upon is so immensely valuable, it cannot be valued. Was given for you. Was given for you. God gave his son, not to condemn the world, but because he loved the world. Didn't send his son to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved, healed, delivered, forgiven, healed. Everybody saved. Everybody healed. Everybody delivered. Everybody prospered. That's his heart. That's his purpose. I believe so often people, when the word comes and the light begins to shine, and they retreat into ignorance and darkness because they reject the word of God and all that the word of God promises to all who believe. When you see some people scurry off because you bring the word of the kingdom, it's ignorance that they're retreating into. people who want to... I mean, Jesus continually had debates with these religious guys, these leaders. I mean, remember they said, "What about you? You going to pay taxes to Caesar?" Jesus was an expert at answering a question with a question. We need to learn from him. As he is, so are we in this world. He didn't say, "Well, you know, I'm not really going to enter into some kind of big, long debate about the right, whether you should pay taxes to Caesar or not." He said, "Hey, give us one of them coins. Whose face is on this coin?" "Caesar's." "Well, give to Caesar what's Caesar's, and give to God what's God's." And they choked. And they couldn't say anything else. That's what you need. Not a 10-hour debate, but intellect against intellect. Like Andy Murray in Australia batting that ball across the net for 5 sets. And then collapsing on the ground and going... The winner collapsed on the ground. Which is you. We're not here to play intellectual ping pong with the world. We're here to bring the kingdom, the dynamics of the Holy Spirit. Even when it comes to advertising, we're talking about we're going to start advertising on Saturday night church. Well, like folks, Bernard and Audrey and Emeka and Jane were over and Jeanette eventually over for dinner the other night, and they said, "The Holy Spirit will bring his own advertising." And that's the truth, isn't it? Amen. They heard Jesus was there. They heard the kingdom had come into town. And they came. Those who wanted to encounter the kingdom. Those who had needs and desperate needs that the world couldn't do anything about. They came because they heard the kingdom was in town. They came with their sick. And they brought them. They carried their paralyzed. They brought them in. And they encountered the kingdom. And when they encountered the kingdom, everything that's in the kingdom became their experience. Amen. Sometimes people just retreat into ignorance and darkness because rejecting the word of God. They choke on it. As he is, so are we in this world. We're not here to try and argue them out of their argument. We're here to bring a word. Maybe just one word even sometimes will penetrate their spirit that's dead, and it will be quickened and made alive, and light will come on the inside. All of the light that they thought they'd received in their intellect, all of a sudden is plunged into darkness as a light comes on the inside. And the light that comes on the inside begins to relight their intellect. Hallelujah. And everything that they thought they knew doesn't really mean anything anymore. Everything that they thought they had figured out doesn't just need adjusted, it needs discarded, most of it. And they start again, afresh. God chooses the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. Hallelujah. Like we said last week, glory to God. Every one of us, we need to continually get beyond the choke. How do you get beyond the choke? You just choose life. Amen? Just choose life. And get out there and teach the kingdom. We need to help others to get beyond the choke. Hallelujah. We're here to teach the kingdom. We're not here to persuade people intellectually. We're here to bring the kingdom. Said it last night. That was the message we had last night in Saturday night church. God's will is the kingdom. That's his will. You want to know what his will? Well, I don't know what God's will is for my life. His will is the kingdom. Wherever you go, come on. Jane's off to down to Surrey. Bernard and Audrey and me, David, they're off down to Darlington. What's God's will? That they bring the kingdom there. That they bring the kingdom here. That's it. You don't need to know any more than that. But that you're there to bring the kingdom. Gavin, you're bringing the kingdom in the council buildings. I'll tell you, bless God, they need it. He tells me something. You know, I'm going, come on. In the hospital out there in the West, you're bringing the kingdom, you guys. Jeanette, immigrant, you're bringing it. And now, there's kingdom people in the Calanis factory. Amen. Hallelujah. It's not just fish oil, it's the oil of the Holy Ghost that's there now. Amen. Glory to God. Come on. That's what it's all about. I say, I don't have a job. We'll get on the bus and get into town. Let's go shopping or something and bring the kingdom. Amen. Chris brings the kingdom at bus stops. Amen. I mean, everybody's telling them to get driving lessons to get a car. Well, you take the kingdom away from the bus stops if you do that. Maybe a good idea right off there. Leave the car home once a week or so, you know. But you understand, Job was bringing the kingdom in the sauna. Come on, if he thought it was hot before he got there, it was hotter before he left. He was a sauna evangelist. You're there, just they're very vulnerable, you know what I'm saying? Joe said, I've come to expose your nakedness. No, I didn't. I'm the prophet of the Lord. I've come to expose you. Well, there's so much to hide behind, you know what I'm saying? Can't tell whether he's wearing a policeman's uniform anymore because he hasn't been wearing it anymore. He's not wearing his bank manager's clobber, you know what I'm saying? Come on. He hasn't got his council ID around his neck saying that he's the director of some service or other. He's just sitting in the sauna, sweating. And the kingdom comes. Hallelujah. Come on. I was thinking of that young guy that ran away naked after the kingdom came, you know what I'm saying? Left his garment behind. I always wondered why it's in there. Why is it there? Maybe it was for this moment. Imagine all these people running out of the sauna when the kingdom came. Because there will always be a choice when the kingdom comes. You see, the choke always leaves you with a choice. The choke brings a challenge to you. What am I going to do with this kingdom? Am I going to accept it or reject it? The choke will bring a challenge, and the challenge always demands a choice. What will I do with this? What will I do with this? And I want to tell you, the choice will always result in a change. And I'll finish with this. Because you need to understand that the Bible says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. There will be a change. It will either be a hardening of your heart to the truth of who God is and what he desires for you, or there will be a softening of your heart that embraces the kingdom and everything that that means. But there will be a change. There will be a change. The choke brings a challenge that must result in a choice in your life, and that choice will bring a change. Let's stand up together. My guy's going long enough, somebody said. I thought he wasn't here to persuade us with an intellectual argument. Do you receive the kingdom? Jesus said it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. There's nothing that brings joy, more joy to God's heart than seeing people embrace the kingdom, receive the kingdom, and everything that the kingdom is and everything that the kingdom has. Hallelujah. Maybe you're one of these people that's ready to die for Jesus, but you're struggling, you're choking on the life stuff. All the stuff about God has healed you and he's delivered you and he's prospered you, and you're struggling with that. Maybe you're a down kind of person, you know, and yeah, I go down, I'm humble, I humble myself, I know where I am, I know I'm nothing, I'm less than nothing. But God says, good, now we can come up. Now I can begin to exalt you, and we choke on that. You need to make, there's kingdoms here this morning for you to make choices. Will you start producing that fruit, that abundance? Will you begin to embrace it, enjoy it, celebrate it, testify about it? How God's blessed you. Will you begin to embrace the up that God's bringing in your life, the exaltation, the places he's bringing you to, the people he's bringing you to speak to? Come on. I mean, Rod appears off the boat a couple of weeks ago, never been here before, as far as he's aware, unless he was here when he was 5 years old. Come on, he's come to a period of fasting. The Bible calls that humbling yourself. Before you know it, he's speaking in a local school that some people may have wanted to speak there for years and never be able to find a way in. You might say, well, what's that? That's a big thing. Not only that, he didn't just get to speak, but they put no limits on what he said. And he got to bring the kingdom. Come on. He didn't say, I'm going to pray now in the name of Allah and what's the Hindu fellow and all them other characters. No, he said, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Maybe you're one of these people that struggles with the giving thing. Oh, well, yes, I'm a giver, but I don't believe in that prosperity business. Get a life. All the way through this book, it's about God wanting to bless you, prosper you, increase you, multiply you. Because until you're blessed, you can't be the blessing that God wants you to be. You might desire to be, but you can't be. Because when you give, it'll hurt. And giving's not meant to hurt. Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for the kingdom. I thank you that your will is the kingdom. I pray that every life here today would reach out and embrace the kingdom. For your glory. For yours is the kingdom. And yours is the power. And yours is the glory forever. Amen. Ready to praise him? Ready to praise him? Ready to praise? Let's start and let's give him a clap. Come on. Hallelujah. Give him a shout. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Glory.